according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Recently, I've enjoyed the resurgence of romantic comedy movies way more than I ever thought I would. I've always said I'm not a romantic comedy person, but turns out I kind of am when the movies are good. These were actually good movies. And they weren't just, you know, the trashy movies only your mom or your romance-crazed best friend would like. Instead, these were thoughtful and funny movies, romantic comedy, about relationships, grief, duty, ambition, and of course, love. I admit my love for these movies is also influenced by the fact that a good portion of them have had Asian or Asian American leads. Last summer, near the end of the summer, Crazy Rich Asians took the box office by storm. Then later on, this past year, the streaming service Netflix has released numerous titles to pick from. They've kind of become a romantic comedy factory, in a sense. But in all the ones that you can pick from, the cream of the crop were the teen romantic comedy To All the Boys I've Loved Before, which featured a mixed Korean-American family, and their new release at the end of May, I think coupled with Asian-Pacific-American Pride Month, I don't know the exact term, Heritage Month, which starred Asian-American comedy powerhouses Randall Park and Ali Wong, both brilliant and funny in their own ways. And as a part of the press junket, you know, a movie comes out and you have to make the circuit doing all sorts of interviews on TV and in magazines and online when a new film or a new something is released. Randall Park, one of the stars of Always Be My Maybe, who happens to be Korean American, did an interview with a website that talked about his Koreanness. As he was being interviewed by another Asian American, she asked him this question: "Do you ever feel like you're not Asian enough, like Asian imposter syndrome?" I was floored. As most of you know or have figured out, I'm a Korean American adoptee. In Minnesota in the late 70s and for most of the 80s, there was a huge influx of Korean American or Korean adoptees. Lutheran Social Services partnered with orphanages over there, and a huge number of Koreans were flown over here for parents for adoption, and I was one of those adoptees. I was 6 months when I came over, so I don't really remember anything about Korea. And since I was a part of such a big influx of adoptees to a very specific geographic area, I grew up having a small but mighty community of fellow Korean American adoptees. One of the rites of passage pretty much every Minnesotan Korean adoptee went through was something called Korean Culture Camp. Think of it as like VBS, except for like for Korean culture and learning about Korea. During 1 week of the summer, a huge group of us would gather in Minneapolis for a week of learning all things Korean. We learned Taekwondo and traditional Korean dances that I was horrible at, but my mother made me do them anyway. And we learned about language and music and food. It was a wonderful experience. It's one of those that if you meet any other Korean adoptee in Minnesota, the chances are pretty much like 99% that they went to Korean culture camp as well. And I remain extremely grateful for the experience, especially since it really jump-started my love for Korean food and cooking, something I've gotten much better at as an adult. But even though I was and still am extremely proud of where I come from, of my heritage, I've always felt like I've been straddling two worlds. I know it's the same for a lot of my close friends who are also Korean American adoptees. Yes, the United States is this wonderful melting pot of cultures, but we never felt fully American or fully Korean. It felt like we occupied this weird space in between. That's why I was floored to hear the interview question, "Do you ever feel like you're not Asian enough?" Because here were two Asian Americans, non-adoptees, who clearly felt the same thing. Randall Park's parents are both Korean immigrants, so he grew up with whatever, at least I imagined, the normal Korean things would be. But his answer totally acknowledged that this reality was true for him too. As he says, "Yeah, of course, especially Korean imposter syndrome. I didn't have a lot of Korean friends growing up. I had like one Korean friend who was my closest friend, but we were both surrounded by other races. I love the food. I make kimchi because it really connects me." Kimchi, for those of you who don't know, is Koreans love their pickles. We love pickles. So kimchi is a special form of spicy pickled cabbage. Like the traditional way to make it is to make it in a pot and then like bury it somewhere in your yard. So it's this whole wonderful process and it's delicious and spicy. So I make kimchi because it really connects to me, but I'm always trying to find ways to connect to my Koreanness more. And he goes on to talk about how in his household, he's married to another Korean American. They've gotten really into the boy band called BTS. Like, you know how every like 5 to 10 years, there's a new boy band, you know, the Beatles were kind of the original one. And then don't make me guess what the 70s and 80s versions were. Bee Gees maybe? I don't know. And then like 80s, you get to the New Kids on the Block, and then you get Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, One Direction, and now the big thing of all things is what's known as K-pop, Korean pop music. So their big band right now, boy band, is from Korea, and they're called BTS, and they sing kind of half in English and half in Korean, and like Randall Park, I'm like, ooh, I really should get into them because it'll connect me with my Koreanness. And so I've been listening to trashy pop music a lot lately, but it connects me to my Koreanness. I'm not alone in this. So it wasn't just Korean adoptees who had this weird imposter, am I Asian enough syndrome? It was all of us. And of course, this doesn't just apply to adoptees or Koreans or Asians for that matter. That feeling of, Am I enough of this in creeping anywhere? Am I German enough? Am I connected enough to my Lancastrian ancestors? What does it say about me and my family in this area if we don't cook pork and sauerkraut on New Year's Day? Am I really Lancastrian enough if I'm only the second generation of people who have lived in this area? This line of questioning, am I enough, can be applied to pretty much everything. It can be applied to physical traits. Am I skinny enough? Am I fit enough? It can be applied to personality traits. Am I smart enough? Am I driven enough? Am I nice enough? Am I kind enough? It can be applied to religion. Am I Christian enough? Am I Lutheran enough? And even if you claim to eschew labels and paint yourself outside of such things, you're still labeling yourself as something. And there's always still the question of comparison. Am I enough of an outsider? Am I enough? When Paul wrote the letter Galatians, I'm guessing he didn't have these specific questions in mind. The church of Galatia was having a rough go of it. After Paul had taught them about Jesus, the good news of Jesus Christ, they just went off the rails. They started insisting that the only way they were true Christians or Christians enough was to go back to the old laws. It required that they do something, that they followed the old laws. In other words, they had to follow what I like to call the big L laws. These were the laws given by God at Mount Sinai to Moses and God's people to live a very specific way. A big part of that was being circumcised. And no one could ever live up to these laws fully. The Old Testament is a story of God's people failing again and again and again and again and again and again to live up to these laws. The people can never be lawful enough to be right with God. And this then bleeds into the rest of our daily lives and the demands of what I'll call the little L laws of enoughness. We can never be enough, no matter which set of laws we face. We get it from all sides. It's that sinking suspicion that we will never be good enough or lawful enough or fully fill in the blank with whatever enough. These big and these little L laws always accuse us of not being enough, of not doing enough. There's no escaping it. This is why it's such good news that Jesus came. With Jesus came faith, which is a gift from God in and of itself. Faith that through Jesus' death on the cross, for the forgiveness of your sins and rising from the grave, that has all been done. That it is enough. Enough for all of us. Enough for you, enough for everything. Through this, we are set free from sin and death and the devil and that sneaking suspicion that we will never be enough, because Jesus is enough for you and for me and for all of us. As Paul writes, but now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to the law. For in Christ Jesus, you are children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Through Jesus, all those labels and laws that accuse us of not being enough are put to death, are buried. Of not being Korean enough or Lancastrian enough or rich enough or smart enough or pretty enough or lawful enough or whatever enough. They're all gone. We have a new label that trumps all the others. Child of God. This is who we are. All of us. This means that we are enough in God's eyes. Now and forever. Finally. Because of what Jesus has done for you and for me and for all of us. I remember when I started seminary where you study to do this crazy job of being a pastor. And I remember digging into this passage and into Galatians, learning about it through biblical study, reading Martin Luther's commentary on it, and how freeing it was. There was this part of me that had always tried to reconcile who I am and how I never felt like enough, especially in relation to my heritage. I was proud of it, sure. It's a huge part of who I am. But that idea of enoughness always gnawed at the edges until I read this, until I learned what it meant, until I reminded that in Christ Jesus and through baptism, I am a child of God, and through the promises given on the cross and the resurrection and baptism, I am enough. I am whole. Of course, I need to be reminded of this day in and day out. That's why I'm always a little surprised when I run into interviews like Randall's Parks and am reminded again of my never-ending need to feel like I'm enough on this side of this life. And this is what we're called to do as Christians, to tell people through Jesus they are enough. To call out all these laws that we face and to remind people that, yes, they are children of God and they are enough. Because heaven knows these laws come at us from all sides and find new and creative ways to batter us and to try and tell us we are not enough. So we go out and we share the same rest and peace and freedom and joy that we have found in Jesus. Because through him, we are enough. This is the message that we share. Thanks be to God. Amen.